We have been talking. Actually, this is the third message we have had on the church covenant. Let me read to you, or let's read together, the second paragraph of our church covenant. Remember, we said that our constitution details how we deal in business. Our articles of faith describe who we are doctrinally, but our church covenant, and this is something that Bible-believing churches, probably for at least the last 300 years, have had as a part of their official church documents, a church covenant, because it describes how we are to interact and relate to each other as a spiritual family. We engage, therefore, this is the second paragraph, by the aid of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, to strive for the advancement of this church in the knowledge of holiness and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinances, discipline, and doctrine, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the pastor and the expenses of the church, the relief of the poor, the spread of the gospel throughout all nations. Now, I'm going to stop for just a moment because if I don't do something when I'm thinking about it, I probably won't do it. You know, and so I would like for all of the folks who participated last night in our tent down at Park Lake, the Dark Lake Spooktacular, and I realize that's kind of a scary thing for conservative Bible believers, but I'd like for you to stand, would you please, all of you who participated. Bob, you were there, remember? No, wait a minute. No, before you clap, I want to say something. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Judy, you were there. Come on. Some folks just can't. And Gary, where did he go off to? Oh, I didn't know that. Well, he was out in the weather too much last night. I want to say something. You know, some of you talk about how we don't do outreach. This was outreach last night. And if you weren't there, then you missed it. Okay? But these folks were there. And I think it was a great thing. As far as I know, we went through the list. As far as I know, we were the only church that participated in what was going on last night. And I endorse what's going on last night. I think, frankly, that Halloween night ought to be outlawed because you tell your kids 364 days a year, don't take candy from strangers, and then you send them to the door. But when you've got something like we had last night, which is an extremely safe environment, I endorse that completely. And we probably gave out candy. And you don't think this is important, but we were present there. Our banner was there. And we gave out candy, I would say at least to 1,500 people. 1,500 children. And their parents were there as well. And we passed out some literature for the church. Judy does not know a stranger. She engages convicts and everything else. And we would have probably, and I want to thank all of you who contributed candy. You may not think it's important, but they said going in that if you needed candy in your tent, the city would supply candy for you. We took our own candy. We started off, Gary made 400 packets, had three things of candy in it and a track. We went through that before 5:45. We started at 5:30. It was gone, okay? The city, and this is significant because it's a compliment to those of you who did give, the city ran out of candy before we did. Yeah, because Judy ate. Absolutely. Absolutely. And we could have served 3,000 if Judy hadn't eaten the rest of the candy. But the thing of it is, go ahead, Glenn. Oh, I'm sorry, Chris Frank was also with us. But I want to compliment those of you who came because this was outreach. This was outreach. And we plan on doing more things like that, and I hope some of you will be involved. Because to be honest with you, the only negative thing was there was just three old curmudgeons like me and Gary and Bob standing out front offering candy to kids. And I think that made some of them nervous. But anyway, thank you so much. Give them a hand. Give them a hand. They deserve a hand. It was cold out there last night, okay? And I appreciate them so much. All right, let's look at this again. Just this, to strive for the advancement of the church in the knowledge, and I want you to see that word there. What does it say it with me? Nobody else reading? All right. No. All right, let's try it again. To strive for the advancement of this church in the knowledge of?
Holiness.
All right, very good. It only took us four tries. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I'm going to give you several scripture here. Romans 12, 1. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to the Lord because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. Did you see that word there? Let them be a living and what?
Holy
sacrifice. The kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to what?
Worship
him. This is the way you worship him. By being holy. By living holy. That's what worship is, by the way. That's what worship really is. All right, sorry about the green and sorry about the underline, but for some reason it wouldn't let me get rid of it. Holiness is not just for some select few spiritual giants. It is not just for pious people who sit around all day with nothing to do but be holy. Everyone who names the name of the Lord is called to live a holy life. That includes everybody in this room that knows Jesus Christ as personal Savior. 1 Peter 2:5, and you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his what? What?
Holy
priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. Now, I think it's probably fair to say that the spiritual sacrifices has to do with being holy. Okay? 1 Peter 2:8-9. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. How? Through being a holy nation. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Ephesians 1:4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be
holy
and without blame before him in love. 2 Peter 3:10-11. But the day of the Lord, that's the day of judgment, by the way, will come as a thief in the night, unexpectedly, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in them will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things shall be dissolved, read it this way. Therefore, since all these things will happen, what manner of persons ought you to be in all and what?
Holy
conduct. Thank you. Holy conduct and godliness. God demands, not suggests, not implores, not asks, not begs. God demands that his people and his church be holy. We are to take on his likeness and personality. We are to be like our heavenly Father. We are to be living sacrifices that are characterized by, what is that?
Holiness.
We are to be a what?
Can't
you guys keep a little enthusiasm going? Wake up. We are to be a what?
Holy priesthood.
Thank you. Representing God to man and man to God. We are to be a
holy nation
of people who live by divine standards. Another quote, if there is not at least a yearning in our hearts to live a holy life pleasing to God, we need to seriously question our faith in Christ. Question seriously whether our faith in Christ is genuine. That's fact. That's fact. Some of us have kind of eased into salvation. Salvation is a supernatural experience. when once you place your faith in Christ, then the Holy Spirit, oh, by the way, there's another holy, isn't it? The Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. If he is living within you, then he is going to be pushing you, imploring you, leading you to be holy, because that's how God is. We are a covenant community with responsibilities both to God and to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to strive for the advancement of our church in the knowledge of holiness. What does it mean? I ask you again, what are you doing for the church? Where are you taking the church? Wherever you go, it goes. What is your life doing to enhance the growth of the church in holiness? Do you know the only testimony we have as a church in this community is you? Is who you are. Is how you live. Is how you conduct yourself before this world. Dwight L. Moody said, a holy life will produce the deepest impression. Lighthouses blow no horns. They only shine. That's a good thing. All right, we're going to get right into the message. Number one, the why of holiness. Why should we be holy? Well, we are commanded to be holy. You probably already figured that one out, but we're going to go through it again. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as he which is called, which hath called you to be holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. What's he saying? I'm your father. Be like me. Be like me. You know that last week we traveled to Ohio. I attended my 50th high school reunion. I mean, I can't believe it. Those people look so old. I just could not believe how old they had gotten. One of my middle school girlfriends came up to me and she said, Eddie, do you remember me? I said, were you one of my teachers? Oh, God. But do you know what? But do you know what hit me? That's not true. Yeah, her. That would have been good. Do you know what really hit me? I was looking in the mirror. Which was a bad thing. I was looking in the mirror at the hotel, getting ready to go, and I thought to myself. I think it was the first time I've ever thought this in my life, because everybody always said that I looked like my mom. But I looked in that mirror and I thought, "You really look like your dad." You are really starting to look like your dad. Now, I'm looking over here at Doug, and I look at the guy next to him, and do you know what, Doug? You could never deny this kid. You could never do it. He looks like you. I'll pray for you, okay? He looks like, yeah, even the hairs. Yeah. But he can grow some. Anyway, I'm sorry. That was a cheap shot. What's my point? Fathers like for their kids to look like them. They really do. This is exactly what the Father is saying. Look at it. Be holy, for I am holy. Now, let's go back up. Because he which hath called you is holy. Because he is holy. He said, you be holy. Be like me. I am holy. This is what God says about himself. You be holy. This is the standard God sets for his children. He demands that our conduct as believers be governed by the overriding moral attribute of his personality. Now, let me stop for just a moment and say that you should not be intimidated by the word holy. You know why? Because here's what I think a lot of Christians do. I think they've got a bad impression of what holiness is. But got to fix that hole in my lip. But I think they've got a bad impression of what holiness is, and I think they think it's something unattainable, and that's just really not true. Because what do you think? The Holy Spirit lives in you. See, here's the thing. People say, well, I think the only thing I have to do is just be as good as I can be. Then why does the Holy Spirit live within you? No. You need to be as good as you can be when you yield to the leadership and the lordship of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what you need to do. That's the goal, you see. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many believers. You see, God has a goal for you. God has a goal for me. We are to be like his Son. A few years ago, some genius had a marketing coup when he came up with this WWWJ, what would Jesus do? Do you understand that actually what he did is biblical? Because that's the way we're supposed to think. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus approach this situation? How would Jesus feel about this thing? Because we are to be like him. Secondly, because of the return of Jesus is imminent. Anybody remember what that word imminent means? Well, definite. Anytime. Let's say about to happen, at hand. At hand. All those things are good answers. At hand. The return of Jesus is at hand. It could happen at any moment, at least for the church. 1 Peter 1:13, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation. That's the return of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming. He could return at any time. Understanding that he comes unannounced, we must be ready to meet him. Ready to meet him at any time. Can I ask you a question? If he shows up before the end of the service, how are you going to feel about that? Are you ready? Is your life clean? Are you prepared to meet him? That's the way we're supposed to live. Now look here. From that verse, we've got a couple of thoughts. First of all, prepare yourself mentally. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be tough-minded. And establish your faith in Jesus Christ. Can I suggest that this has the idea? You know, everybody can say God is good when things are going well, when there's money in the bank, when the kids are healthy, when everybody is loving you and singing your praises. God is good. But what are you going to do? What are you going to do when the doctor comes out and tells you you got cancer or your kids have cancer? What are you going to do when you don't have any money, when you're about to lose your home? When you don't have a job, and besides that, when you've lost your health, are you still going to be able to say God is good? Because quite frankly, if you can't say God is good in the second situation, then when you say God is good in the first one, it doesn't mean a thing. You understand? You understand? See, this is what, be tough-minded. Be tough-minded. I know what God is. I know who he is. I know what he's like. It doesn't matter what the situation is. Situations come and go. Good days come, good days go. Bad days come, bad days go. But God's the same. In fact, one of the attributes of his characteristic is that he is immutable. He does not change. We do. We change with the wind. We change with the weather, don't we? I mean, have you ever let, first of all, I'm going to tell you this right now. I no longer believe in opinion polls. I don't think they believe mean a thing, not a blessed thing. But I will tell you that the same polling group can ask the same question 3 days apart and get a difference of opinion. Now, that means one of two things. Actually, I think it means both. Either the polling is not accurate or people are fickle. They just change with the wind. You know, oh, I've had a good day. I think I'm for this. Well, I've had a bad day. I'm not for this anymore. And sad to say, that's like a lot of Christians in their faith. Be tough-minded. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. He does not change. He's holy. He loves you. He saved you. Rejoice in that, no matter what's going on in your life. If you can't, it means your faith isn't growing or has not grown. Don't be led astray by the allures of the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. The battle for holiness, that should be, is first fought in the mind. Be tough-minded. Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 3:23, guard your heart with all else. Your heart is your innermost being. It is what you think, what you feel, everything. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. We make a lot of bad decisions when we don't guard our heart. We get ourselves in trouble when we don't guard our heart. Secondly, use good judgment. Be sober. That's not just simply talking about avoiding alcohol. to be sober means to exercise self-control. A drunk man never considers the consequences of his actions. That's why literally thousands of drunk people every year get in cars not thinking of the consequences for themselves or for the people they may encounter. A drunk man doesn't think right. You understand that? The alcohol grabs hold of you. If it's not alcohol, it may be drugs. Same thing. And now we're letting them loose with marijuana. Boy, that's going to be fun. We need to think through the issues that confront us each day. The devil is always stalking our paths. You got an enemy. He wants to mess you up. He can't take your salvation, but he'll do everything he can to mess up your life. We cannot let him lead us astray morally or doctrinally. Hebrews 12:15-16. Pursue peace with all people. There's a good idea. And holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. That doesn't mean you lose your salvation. That means you don't live up to God's expectation. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many people be defiled. If I'm any judge of what's going on in our country today, people are just angry. They are just angry. And it's not just being mad. It's a rage that is building. And Christians need to be very careful that we don't get caught up in that. Because you know what rage in this life does? It steals your eternal joy. It takes away the things that really matter. It makes you temporal-minded to live in the moment. I've heard people say, well, I just live in the moment. That's the dumbest thing you can say. Because if you're living in the moment, you're not considering the consequence of what you are doing. And you better think about what the next step may be after you make a very bad decision. Consider the consequences. Lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau. You say, I'd never be a fornicator. I'd never commit fornication. It's talking about spiritual fornication. It's talking about a disloyalty to God. Thank you all for being here today. Let me first of all say that. But to be quite honest with you, Christians should never have to be encouraged to show up in church. They ought to just be there. They ought to just be there. There's such a thing as being. By the way, you don't think the church is important? Maybe you ought to read Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all those, all the flock which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased. Anybody know what? I know you do. Which he had purchased how? With his own blood. You don't think church is important? Maybe you better read the Bible every once in a while. Lest any fornicator or profane person like Esau for one morsel of food sold his birthright. You know what? If you don't think right, you're going to follow this guy. Esau made a poor choice. He sold his birthright for one small price, a bowl of soup. That's what he sold. He sold himself for a bowl of soup. You know, people do the same thing today. They sell their marriage to immorality. They sell their children to a lack of Christian example. How are your kids going to learn how to be a Christian if they don't see it in you? They sell your testimony for a few dishonest dollars. They sell their integrity to drugs, alcohol, or pornography. They sell relationships with God for the pleasures of this temporal life, which will pass away. They sell their souls for the devil's lie. I don't know how many people. I mean, I'm not even fazed by it anymore. I've heard it so many times. I'll talk to somebody about their soul, and they say, well, if I get saved, I'll have to give up. And just fill in the blank, whatever you want to do. You know, I'll have to give up looking at my dirty magazines. I'll have to give up alcohol. I'll have to give up drugs. I'll have to give up smoking. Yada, 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 yada. You know what? None of those things are in hell. You die and go to hell. You don't get any of that anyway. Maybe it'd be a good thing to think about that, to give up these things that don't matter and to live for Christ instead. And not let something temporary keep you from something that is eternal. Just a thought. Be positive and live positive. Hope to the end. That's what it says.
1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify, that means set apart. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. How long has it been since somebody said, you know, there's something different about you. Can you tell me what's different about you? Or do you just fit in so good? They would never imagine that you're a Christian. Huh? This says, Peter said, now, do you understand? You say, well, it's just so hard to live like a Christian today. Do you know when Peter was living? In the middle of the height of the ferocity and viciousness of the persecution of the church by the Roman Empire. You think it's hard to be a Christian today? Today's a cakewalk. There's nothing to it. Nothing at all. I mean, it's easy to be. It is easy to be a Christian today. Nobody's coming after you. Nobody's trying to steal your job because you're a Christian. Nobody's out to kill you because you're a Christian. It's a cakewalk. But I got to tell you something. I think that might change. I think it could. The New Living Translation renders the verse, instead you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. You know, we miss a lot of opportunities because we don't listen to people. People talk about the terrible things they're going through and everything, and we sympathize with them. You know, we kind of make a little sour face, and I'm sorry, and then we think we do a Christian thing. Well, I'll pray for you. Instead, maybe we ought to say, listen, I think I got an answer for your problem because I know someone who can take care of your problems, and his name is Jesus. And we just don't listen. We just let those things pass away. Now, I got two reasons why we do that. One is fear. One is fear. And the other is lack of concern. Well, if they go to hell, that's their problem, not mine. Titus 3:7, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Hope. Someone said that a man can live 3 months without food, 3 days without water, and 3 minutes without hope. And I think there's something to that. Hope. Why is suicide at an epidemic level today? Because people lose hope. They lose hope. And we have hope. And we need to share that hope with others. That's a part of living holy. That's why we should live holy. Be different. You can't get around it. Being holy means being different. If you're going to live a holy life, there are some things you will have to cut out of your life. You'll just have to cut it out, you know? It may be something like music. You know, if you're listening to music that is angry music, that is always talking about angry things and nasty things, and where did I get that word nasty? It just fit. But things like that, maybe you need to change your music. I got to be careful about what I listen to. If I listen to rock and roll all the time, I would kill somebody. If I listen to country music all the time, I'd kill myself. It's best to try to listen to something that edifies you, that builds you up, you know? It might be something that simple. You need to cut that out of your life. It may be something a little more complicated. It may be some relationships that's dragging you down. I'm not talking about your marriage now. I had a lady tell me one time, God's leading me to divorce my husband. I said, no, you want to divorce your husband. I said, God would never lead you to do that. God would lead you to work on your marriage and to make it right. That's what God would lead you to do. You understand that? But there may be some relationships, some friendships. Sometimes you have to cut people loose in your life if they are dragging you back into sin that you are trying to get away from. I'm sorry, that sounds cruel. Well, the first thing you do is you try to witness to them and take them along the journey with you. But if you can't, then sometimes you have to cut them out in order that you can be pleasing to your Father who is in heaven, who gave his Son to die for your sins. Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord. I should have read the rest of that, shouldn't I? I've already read that. Let's go on. You know what it says. If you don't, read it later. All right, it talks about being in peace. Okay? Be at peace with God because we are
put away, because we put away from us those things that are unholy before God. John 17:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Listen to me. If you are looking for the world to give you joy, you are going to be disappointed. It may give you some right now. It may be temporary. It may feel good. By the way, if sin wasn't pleasurable, no one would be tempted. Did you know that? I mean, to be honest with you. If sin was boiled squash, I would never have a problem with sin. How about some boiled squash? No, that's all right. I'll starve, you know? I mean, I don't like boiled squash. I just don't like boiled squash. If I come to your house and you fix me boiled squash, I'll eat it, but I won't like it. You understand? If sin was boiled squash, I wouldn't have a bit of problem. I'd be the most holy person in the world. And so would you. Well, maybe you like boiled squash. You know, there's no accounting for taste. But the thing of it is, here's the deal. There are some things that are just wrong. They may be pleasurable. You may think they're going to bring you happiness. No one has ever ruined their life on purpose. No one has ever thought, if I do this thing, it'll ruin my life. They've thought to themselves, if I do this thing, it'll make me happy. But they haven't thought it through. And particularly Christians, they haven't prayed about it. Listen, I've known a lot of Christians over the years, bitter, angry, and their lives are ruined because they made bad decisions. They thought it was gonna make them happy, but it has destroyed their life irreparably. We're all one bad decision away. Okay, without spot, this is how we are to live. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know what happens when Christians are out of fellowship with each other? One of them isn't walking in the light. Maybe both of them, but one of them definitely isn't. If Scott's walking in the light and I'm walking in the light, we're going to be good with each other. That's all there is to it, you know? But if Christians are out of joint, you know, their nose is out of joint, I don't know where that came from, but if their nose is out of joint with each other, it's because either one or both are not walking in the light of God. And if you're out of fellowship with your God, it's because you're not walking in the light. He doesn't change. He always is light, you know? So if you're out of relationship, out of fellowship with your God, it's because you're not walking in the light. All right, now that's the why, okay? Now the how of holiness. How do you live a holy life? 2 Peter 3:11, therefore, since all these things, remember what we talked about, end of the world, judgment, all that sort of thing, since all these things will be dissolved, since it is at hand, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Since everything we know will be destroyed. By the way, you put too much credence in this life, understand it's only temporary. There is nothing about this life that is permanent. Nothing about this life that is permanent. I don't know when it's going to end, when God's ready for it to, but it will end. It may not end in your lifetime. I don't know. I don't even know how long your lifetime is. I don't know how long my lifetime is. Who knows? I mean, this may be the last sermon I ever preach, and you'll hear tomorrow, Walls is gone. Maybe. You can't know, you know, or I might hear you're gone. None of us know how much time we have. We better make use of the time that we have. Since everything we know will be destroyed, we will be held accountable, and we will be held accountable. How then should we live? As believers belonging to God, we are to live a holy life. Holiness is more than a word. It is hard to define, but we find the ultimate example in God. He is holy. He is transcendent. You know what people try to do? They try to bring God down to their level. There was a song a few years ago. What if God was a slob just like the rest of us? Some of you remember that song. No. I mean, I can't think of too many more things that's more sacrilegious than that. I guess you could just cuss in his face, maybe. But, you know, that's not who God is. God's transcendent. You know what? You know what the definition of transcendent is? It's other. God's not like us. He's other than us. He's above us. That's who God is. Oh, he's my buddy upstairs. No, he's God. Matt can be your father, but he's not your buddy. He's the man upstairs. No, he's not a man.
He's a spirit. God is a spirit. You worship him. You worship him in spirit and in truth. If you're going to defile his name, at least be a little theological about it. God defines the term of holiness. We have not seen God, but we know that Jesus has revealed him in the flesh. Our holiness should be an imitation of the life and attitude of Jesus Christ. See, that's not really that hard if you think about it. How are we to be holy? By the way we live. What manner of persons ought you to be in conduct and godliness? Well, there's one of those quotes again, but I like this one. Max Lucado, it was worth the green. You want to make a difference in your world. You want to make a difference in your world? Question mark. Live a holy life. Be faithful to your spouse. Be the one at the office who refuses to cheat, or at school. Be the neighbor who acts that should be neighborly. Be the employee who does the work and doesn't complain. Pay your bills. Do your part and enjoy life. Speak one message and live. Don't speak one message and live another. People are watching the way we act more than they are listening to what we say. And that's the truth. And that's the truth. Paul tells us that we are a purchased possession of God, paid for by the blood of Jesus. We are to glorify God by what we do in our body. 2 Peter 3, or 2, or 1. 3 and 4. I'll get it eventually. I have terrible numbers. I never could understand math majors. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us, look at this, exceeding great and precious promises. We look for our fulfillment in the things of this world because we have neglected the precious promises of God. And we are a generation that wants automatic and immediate gratification. I want to be happy right now, and this is what's going to make me be happy. Ba 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 ba. Listen, to be quite honest with you, there's some people that are going to live a terrible life their whole life. I'm talking about Christians. But when they come to the end of this world, man, it's everything, you know? And there are Christians who are going to try to get everything out of this life they can. And when they go to heaven, they're going to have to explain to Jesus why they lived such an unholy life. You don't have to explain a thing to me, but there is one you will stand before. And he's the same one who allowed his hands to be nailed to a cross for you. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men. This little light of mine, sing it with me. I'm going to let, come on, where's your light? This little light, come on, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Thank you for your lack of participation. I appreciate that. Also, not only by the what we do, but also by the way we think. And godliness. Boy, there's a term. Godliness. God wants us to be like him. Godliness is what we used to call piety. You know what we've done? We've let the world and some self-righteous people steal the word piety from us. Because usually when people think of piety, they think of self-pious, you know, self-religious, that sort of thing. You don't want to be around those kind of people. But the word piety is a beautiful word. In fact, if you find in Scripture where it uses the word godliness, it's talking about piety. Piety is a quality of the heart. It is the faith that looks upward in reverence and worship to God. That's piety. Piety. It's a quality of the heart. Piety is the spirit, qualities of goodness, meekness, gentleness, coupled with worship of the triune God. We glorify God in our body, but also in our spirit. The Pharisees glorified God in their body, but not in their spirit. They had a form of godliness, piety. They actually were self-pious, but they did not possess its power.
Holiness begins within the mind and manifests itself outside the body. We do not work to become holy. We become holy when we do the works of Almighty God. Psalm 37:37. Look at this. Mark the perfect man. Those of you dear unclaimed blessings, ladies, you know who I'm talking about. You'll never find a perfect man. Not perfect. Not perfect. I mean, I could give you a lot of examples in here today. But you will find a mature man. That's what this means. It's talking about spiritual maturity. That's what a perfect man. And by the way, understand that the word man there should be considered generic. Probably a better way to read this is Mark the perfect human being, male or female. Mark the perfect human being. Behold the upright, for the end of that human being is peace. Holiness. Holiness. God says, I am holy. Now you be holy. Be holy in what you do. Be holy in your speech. Be holy in your relationship with others. Gossips are not holy people. You understand that? You spread gossip, you're not a holy person because you're trying to tear down somebody. Oh, well, it's true. Then keep it to yourself and pray about it. But once you start spreading stuff, you show a lack of holiness. Holiness is in what we do. Holiness is in what we say. And holiness is in how we think. Listen to this. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Holiness.